We continue our learning. We're in Adios Perikim Ol Mishnah Vav. A little introduction. This is the last machlokas we have with Rabbi Dosan and the Chachamim. Is speaking about a woman who was taken captive, and we're afraid maybe she was violated by one of the non-Jews, one of her captors. According to many, a woman who lives with a non-Jew is now considered a zona, and therefore she's not permitted to marry a Kohen. Here we're speaking regarding her status of eating truma. She's an Ashes Kohen, taken captive. Does she forfeit the right to eat truma because we're afraid maybe she was violated by one of her captors? So Hashvuya Ochelis Bitruma de Rabbi Dosa says she can continue eating truma. She's an Ashes Kohen, married to a Kohen. She was eating truma before she was taken captive. She can continue eating truma after being taken captive. We don't assume she was defiled by the non-Jewish captor. Divrei Rabbi Dosa, who holds that a Shvuya remains B'Kedusha Sa. We don't assume that the Nachrim are what we say are Noheg Hefker. We don't assume that they're treating her in a hefker type of fashion and violating her, and therefore she can continue eating truma. She does not have the status of a zona who would not be permitted to eat truma. V'achachamim omim yesh shvuya ocheles v'yesh shvuya sheino ocheles. It really depends whether the shvuya can eat truma, and it depends on what she claims when she comes to us. Ketzad, and the Mishnah says, how is it so? Ha'isha she'ama nishbesi u'tahora ani. A woman who comes to court and tells us, and we had this in Maseches Ksuvos, I was taken captive, meaning that information we didn't know prior to this. She told us, by the way, I was taken captive, but utorani, but I was not violated by any of the non-Jews. So then the Chachamim say, oh, chela, she can eat truma. Why? Sha'apesha asar ha'apesha hitra, the famous principle. The mouth that prohibited her is the same mouth that permitted her. It's only based on her testimony that we have this information. Pesha asar ha'apesha hitra is either based on the logic that when a person comes to court, we have to assume that we're believing everything that they say. If in fact we want to change her status that she no longer can eat truma, and this is all based on the person's words, so then we have to listen to the entire statement. You're not going to listen to one thing and not listen to the other thing. So the fact that she says the full statement, Nishbesi Torani, so then you can't believe just the first part and not believe the second part. The other possibility is based on the concept of amigo. Migo di Baishasik. A person, generally we talk about amigo where a person could, in this case, she could have kept silent. So we should definitely believe her. We usually assume amigo is where a person could have claimed a better claim, and yet they bring to court a weaker claim. So we believe them because they could have said something which would have been put them in a better light, and they decided not to. Here, the woman could have been silent completely, and we would not have known she was taken captive. And therefore, the pesha asar is the pesha hitir, and she is believed, and therefore she is able to eat shuma. But if the information we have is through edim she was taken captive, not through her own testimony, the Heomer, and then she qualifies that by saying Tahorani, yes, it's true, I was taken captive, the witnesses are correct, but I'm Tahorai, it was not defiled, then Eino Echeles, according to the Chachamim, Stam Shvuya, we assume is Beches Kashenitmahi, we assume there's a Chazal, because she was defiled, we learned the Ksuvas in the second Perek, so the same thing here, then that is the opinion of the Chachamim against Rabbi Dosa. Of course, if witnesses came afterwards, she gave us the information she was taken captive, and but she's Tahora, and witnesses came afterwards to say that, oh, she was taken captive. So then we would permit her, based on the Gemara and Ksufas and Daf, Gimel explains this, because the Beis Din already permitted her to eat truma, the basis of her testimony, her word, and therefore we can ignore that which the Edim say afterwards. Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, Arba'os Sfeikos Rabbi Yoshua Metame V'Chachamim Metarim. There are four doubtful situations of Tumah V'Tara where Rabbi Yeshua is strict and says we have to assume that something or someone is Tameh, and the Chachamim say the person is Torah. So a little bit of an introduction. We mentioned this in the past, but a little bit to elaborate a little bit more. The concept of Safik Tumah B'Rishus Hayachad Sfeiko Tamei and Suffik Tuma Bishus Harabim Sveiko Tor. We've said several times in the past where you have a doubtful situation of Tuma. If it takes place in Rishus Hayachad, and that Rishus Hayachad is not a Rishus Hayachad with respect to the laws of Shabbos, but rather it's a Rishus Hayachad means where there are only two people, that's a Rishus Hayachad, then we have to be strict. But if it's a Rishus Haramim, more than two people, then we have the right to be lenient. Where is it derived from? So we've mentioned several times, this is derived from the Sota, because when it comes to the Sota, the Torah uses the phrase, Vehi nitma'a. She became contaminated. She became tameh. So therefore, we have the right to compare the laws of tumah and to the laws of a sota. And the sota really is the model for all laws of tumah, because the language of tumah is used. And what do we know about a sota? So the sota there was the only two people there. There was the woman and the potential adulterer. So with respect to if she's nitma, then it was an adulterer. So that's where we say if that's the definition of a rishus hayachid, where there are two people, so we use the language of that's she's nitma. But if you have more, than two people, so then that's considered a rishus harabim. We have the right to be lenient because we follow the rules of chazaka. The chazaka tells us that if you're not sure of that, the status of someone, you have a suffix, so then we keep the regular chazaka. We assume that, let's say tumor, we assume that this item is tumor until you can prove that it's tameh. Only when it comes to where this man was secluded with this woman, so then we're going to be strict, and that took place in a private domain where there are two people. So, if the suffix is in a rishus haramim, three people or more, so then we have the right to be lenient. One other thing which you mentioned also, if we assume that sota is the model, so it's not only that we define the rishus hayakar, rishus harabim regarding a sota, and say that nitma'a is where there are two people, that's where we can assume that there's tuma, but if it's more than two people, so then we have the right of rishus haramim, we have the right to be lenient and keep the chazak and say suffix is going to be tahor, but also the suffix there with the what was potentially giving tumah over there. So that was, or the person becoming tameh, that was a person. So that's someone who can be asked whether there was tumah here. Did it have an affair or did not have an affair? So we can ask that question. So regarding the rules of tumah, it's the same thing. If we're learning it from sota, it has to be where the person potentially could be asked whether there was tumah. If it's not possible to ask, where the person doesn't have the intelligence to be able to answer, let's say it's a katan or it's a shota, or let's say we're speaking about an item or something, there are no people at all involved, so then we wouldn't necessarily follow the rules of sota. And we would have the right to say, even where there is a rishus hayachid, even where it's two people or less, so we would have the right to be lenient because we would not be following the rules of the nidma. We could keep the regular chazaka, that's something that's tahor, we assume is tahor until you can prove that it's tameh. So that's a little bit of an introduction to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this, and we're going to explain the Mishnah according to the Rambam. Different Rishonim explain the Mishnah in different ways. This is a simple way to understand the Mishnah. Arba'os sveikos, we said Rabbi Yeshua is mitameh, v'chachamim mitaren. Kate, so the Mishnah tells us, what are these fakos? So number one is hatamei omeid vahatahor over. So case number one, suffix number one, is where the person who's tame, we're speaking about a mitzora, and a mitzora, whether he's a mukhlat or muzgar, whether he's put away, we know that he's tame, or that he's put away for sure, that's a mukhlat or muzgar, we're putting him away to see what happens to the tzaras. Either way, if he walks into an ohel, into a room where it's covered by a roof, so or even under a tree, whether a person or kalim inside, they become tameh with that if that mitzora is there, and that's even if the mitzora doesn't touch anybody, and those people become a rishon l'tumah. This is all where the mitzora is standing under the ohel. But if he's stationary, but if he walks, he's moving, he's not mitameh people in the ohel. Let's say the mitzora is standing in the ohel, he's stationary, and a tahor person passes through, so that person becomes tameh even though he's moving, because the mitzora is stationary. So the Mishnah's first case is hatameh omeid. The mitzora is standing under the ohel, let's say under a tree, where the branches make an ohel. That's also a problem of ohel. V'hator over, and a Torah person is passing underneath the tree. But there's a suffix whether the person passed. So what's the suffix here? It's whether a person passed under the tree where the mitzora was standing, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he really didn't pass. He was on the side of the tree, and he was not under the tree with the mitzvah at the same time. So that's the first suffix. Tameh omeid, the mitzvah is standing under the ohel, and the tahor is passing through, but you're not sure if he really passed underneath the ohel or not where the mitzvah was standing. Suffix number two, hatahor omeid, or the hatameh over. Here is where the Torah is standing, and the Torah is stationary, and the Metzorah is passing through under the tree, and there's a Suffolk, whether the Metzorah, what's the Suffolk that I thought we said that's not a problem, there's a Metzorah is moving. There's a Suffolk whether the Metzorah stopped for a moment under the tree, and therefore is Metame the Torah is under the tree with him, or the Metzorah kept going, kept walking, and didn't stop for a moment. So that's Suffolk number two. Suffolk number three. There was something tameh that's metameh with mago masa, touching and carrying, let's say an avela. So you have an animal that was that just died. It wasn't a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted properly. So that's metameh b'mago, if you touch it or if you carry it, even if you're not touching it. And that is in rishus hayachid. So that's what we mean. Tumah b'rishus hayachid. And v'tara b'rishus harabim. And there's a Torah item in rishus harabim. Right next to that rishus hayachid. So let's say we're just speaking about an animal, piece of meat of an animal that was shechted. So in the rishus hayachid, you have an avela, which is tumah b'mago v'masa. In the rishus harabim, right next to the rishus hayachid, right around the main street, you have a kosher piece of meat from a kosher shechted animal. It's not tamei at all, it's Torah. And a person whose Torah touched one of those pieces of meat, or carried them, he's not sure, did he touch or carry the tamei item, the nevela, and that nevela, by the way, wasn't Rishus HaYachid, or did he touch the shechted piece of meat that was in Rishus HaRabim? Suffolk number four is Tara b'rishus hayachid v'tumah b'rishus harabim. It's the opposite, the reverse. Here, the Torah, the kosher shechted meat, not tameh, but the Torah meat, was in rishus hayachid. And next to it was a rishus harabim where there was something tameh. And the person touched one of those things, carried one of those things, he's not sure which one. So what are this? And now the Mishnah explains, these are the situations. What are the exact halachic sfeikos? Safek naga, safek lo naga. There's a safek, as we explained, whether the person touched the item that was tabe or did not touch the item that was tabe. That was in the most recent cases. Safek ehil, safek lo ehil. Or there's a safek whether the tree was acted as an ohel over the Metzorah and the Torah person, or maybe not. Or Suffolk, another Suffolk, Suffolk Hesit, Suffolk Lo Hesit. So this is a Tumah as well. This is something that a Zav or Nida or Yoledes can be Metameh. If they move an item, they can be Metameh it even if they don't touch it. Even if they don't carry it, by moving it in the sense, let's say they shake the table and it moves, that would be metame and item as well. But here we're not speaking about a zav, an idur, or a mitzvah. We're just speaking about where you had a piece of nevela meat, let's say, and a piece of shechted meat, and you're not sure if the person touched the kosher meat or not, the tummy meat or not tummy meat, is he tummy or not? So here we use the word hesit, movement, in terms of, let's say, carrying. Moving in the sense of carrying and not touching it. So if you have suffek hesit, so that's why the Mishnah says, suffek naga, suffek lo naga, suffek ehil, suffek lo ehil, and suffek hesit, suffek lo hesit, this is like carrying. So it's like, this is not referring to the Metzorah cases, speaking about the last two cases, but we have the case of Maga, of touching, and the case of Masa, which is the word, using the word Hesit. So that's what it means here. So in all of these cases, we have these Sveikos, Rabbi Yeshua Metame. He says in all these cases, we have to be Metame. Now, why am I Metame? Because there's a Rishus HaYachid involved. There is a potential Rishus HaYachid here in all of these pictures. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says we have to be metame like Suffolk Tumah b'Rishus HaYachid, where Sveiko Tumah, we have to be strict. V'chachamim mitarim. The Chachamim say, no, we have the right to assume the person is Tor, because they say, since it's there's also a Suffolk Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim in these cases, therefore we have the right to be lenient following the principle of Suffolk Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim, Sveiko Tahor.